This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 26th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have a story from Springfield on gun control legislation that's making its way through the state legislature. Also, we'll have a forecast for the area. First, AM 580 News. Illinois U.S. Senator Roland Burris is making it clear he has no plans to step down. Earlier this week, Senator Dick Durbin suggested that Burris resign his seat over conflicting statements by Burris about his appointment. But yesterday, Burris announced the hiring of two new staff members, and for about an hour, he presided over the Senate.
Are there any senators in the chamber wishing to vote or wishing to change their vote?
Also yesterday, Burris made a speech on the Senate floor, urging his colleagues to support legislation granting Washington, D.C. one seat in the House of Representatives.
Citizens of Washington, D.C. pay taxes like everyone else in the country, but they have no voice in how their taxes are spent.
That audio is courtesy of C-SPAN. Burris spoke for about 3.5 minutes, never mentioning the perjury allegations leveled against him. The senator's political advisor, Delmarie Cobb, says Burris plans to continue to serve the people of Illinois in the Senate. She says Burris has done nothing wrong. Governor Pat Quinn will only say that a press conference today will include something that supporters of state parks will like. But many say it's a big hint that Quinn will reopen the parks and historic sites that ousted Governor Rob Blagojevich closed last fall, weeks before he was arrested on corruption charges. That would please Tom Plura, an attorney from Leroy who sued the Blagojevich administration in an attempt to get the parks reopened. Plura says that was his only goal, and a reopening announcement will probably lead him to drop his suit.
In some ways, very frankly, I would like to have the judge say Blagojevich never had the authority, the power, or the right to tell the DNR to close the parks. But at the same time, I don't need that self-gratification.
Governor Quinn has said he would find a way to reopen the 7 parks and 12 historic sites despite a $9 billion state budget deficit. Meanwhile, the governor isn't ruling out a gas tax hike as a way to help balance the budget, but he says he's skeptical because such a tax isn't based on an individual's ability to pay. House and Senate Democrats have suggested raising the state's gasoline tax by 8 cents a gallon or more to help fund road and bridge repairs. But Republican Senator Matt Murphy of Palatine says he's unconvinced that Quinn will oppose those efforts.
I didn't hear any defiant resistance in his tone when he said that. You know, more of a general statement that that's not his preference, but that he wasn't taking that off the table. With the vehemence that the Democrat leaders in the General Assembly have for doing that, I think in the end, they'll probably get Governor Quinn to go along with it.
Murphy says state leaders need to look at more long-term solutions to create jobs in the state. He says it would help bring in more revenue from existing tax measures. Murphy also calls lawmakers need to examine regulatory measures that he claims get in the way of the development of projects such as ethanol plants. He says it takes up to 6 months to license an ethanol plant in Illinois, but only 6 weeks in neighboring Iowa. A Republican lawmaker says the state's bars and casinos are losing money because of the state's year-old public smoking ban. As Todd Feuer reports, the legislator wants to create some exemptions to that ban.
State Representative Randy Ramey, a Carroll Stream Republican, voted against the smoking ban. He says many bars and casinos are suffering because smokers spend less time there or don't go at all. He wants taverns, casinos, and other venues that cater only to adults to be able to obtain smoking licenses. If they get one, they would need to post signs indicating they allow smoking.
So if you don't like it, you can decide not to go in. It gives you a choice too. Now, does that business owner then see, well, I got declined in business because I have smoking. Well, now I'm not going to have it. I'll get those people back.
But the American Lung Association disputes the smoking ban is having an adverse effect on certain establishments. They say although revenue may be down for some bars, overall they made more money last year than the year before the ban. And the group says casinos in Las Vegas lost revenue at a larger rate than Illinois last year, even though Las Vegas allows smoking. I'm Todd Feuer.
Veteran civil rights activist Julian Bond told a mostly college-age audience at the University of Illinois last night that the key to treating social ills is to treat the underlying injustices that cause them. Bond told the overflow crowd at the U of I's Alice Campbell Alumni Center that therein lies the difference between his generation and today's youth when it comes to social issues. He says today's young people are focused on social service, while his generation looked more at social justice.
And there's nothing wrong with social service. It's a wonderful thing. But we believe that if you had social justice, you didn't need social service. And I wish more young people could attack social justice issues, which is not to say they should abandon social service, but we need people to attack social justice issues, I think, more than anything else.
The 69-year-old Bond said he still sees great things in today's young generation that could well surpass the accomplishments of his own. In his own college days, Julian Bond helped found the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which played a major role in the civil rights sit-ins and freedom rides of the 60s. Today, he chairs the board of the NAACP. Bond's appearance in Urbana was part of a series of events featuring prominent African Americans at all three U of I campuses this month. The city of Champaign's 150th anniversary is coming up next year, and the city council's endorsing plans for a year-long celebration. A committee convened by Mayor Jerry Schweihart is working on a schedule of activities that would feature different themes each month tied to existing community events such as the U of I graduation, Ebert Fest, and holiday parades. There are plans for special ceremonies at the open, midpoint, and conclusion of the anniversary year, and they're discussing funding some sort of permanent public art or other public project in connection with the anniversary. The committee's efforts won the blessing of the Champaign City Council this week. Mayor Schweihart says the 150th anniversary is worth spending city money and resources on, even during a recession.
And I'm sure there's going to be some people out there saying, well, the city shouldn't venture into something like this where it's going to cost you a little bit of money. We can't quit living just because the economy is bad. We have to keep, like I said, look to the future and just keep moving ahead, and it'll all get better. But this is something that doesn't come around that often, and it's very important to the community.
Champaign's 150th anniversary celebration is scheduled to begin in March 2010 and run through March of 2011. Those months are the 150th anniversary of the public's vote to incorporate Champaign as a city in 1861 and its final recognition by the General Assembly a year later. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. The AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Restricting the sale of guns has continually been looked on as a way of decreasing crime. But for many gun owners, the only effect of gun control is an infringement on their constitutionally guaranteed right to bear arms. In Illinois, it's a contentious issue, often dividing legislators from urban and rural areas. The gun control advocates won yesterday when a measure to limit private gun sales cleared in Illinois House Committee. But last year, a similar measure also got to the House floor, where it was defeated by only 2 votes. Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky has more.
Northwestern University basketball coach Ricky Birdsong had gone for a jog with his children when, one block from his Skokie home, he was shot and killed by a white supremacist. It happened over the July 4th holiday in 1999. But his wife, Sherilyn, can still describe the scene in detail.
When I reached him, he was lying on the ground, his body consumed with pain and agony. After 4 hours of surgery, this devoted husband and father of 3 died.
After sharing her story with an Illinois House committee, she asked that the legislators approve a proposal she says could prevent future tragedies. Birdsong says her husband's killer had a criminal record that caused him to be turned down when he tried to buy a gun from a licensed dealer. But the killer was able to buy guns from an unlicensed dealer he'd found through a newspaper ad.
10 years later, it is still incomprehensible to me that it is legal for someone to sell handguns without conducting a Brady background check on the purchaser, and that criminals and other dangerous people who are not legally allowed to buy guns can simply find a private seller who can sell them all the handguns they want, no questions asked.
The proposal, Birdsong says, could help would require a federally licensed dealer to get involved whenever there's a private handgun sale. The dealer would have to conduct a background check on the buyer, making sure there's no criminal history or mental illness, making it illegal for the buyer to own the gun.
We do have background checks on the private purchases of firearms in the state of Illinois. It's called the FOID card.
That's the National Rifle Association's Todd Vandermeide. Right now, it's perfectly legal for a gun owner to sell a weapon, but only if the buyer has a fire owner's identification, or FOID card, a card that only someone who's passed background checks can have. Vandermeide says that means the private transaction that allowed Birdsong's killer to get his hands on a gun was already illegal. which gets to Greg Sullivan's point. Sullivan's the director of the Illinois Sheriff's Association and wonders if the measure were to become law, would it actually do anything to prevent crimes?
Criminals don't buy their guns legally anyway. We know that. I mean, they buy them on the black market. They buy them from each other. And I'm not sure that we're ever going to be able to do anything legally with the statutes that's going to stop criminals from getting weapons.
The Illinois State Police say yes, it could help. Lieutenant Scott Compton says it's true a gun buyer must have a FOID card, but Compton says there's no way for a private, unlicensed seller to know if the buyer's card remains valid. Every day, the state police do a computer database scan to see if someone's been arrested, committed to a mental institution, or done something else that would revoke their FOID card. The updated database is used when people buy guns from stores, but it's not currently checked in private sales.
This law would require that that check be done. And it is geared towards keeping guns out of the hands of people who are not supposed to have those.
But the process would require cooperation from gun dealers. And Steve Schwartz, the owner of the Capital City Arms Gun Shop in Springfield, says he's not interested.
It doesn't say that I'm required to do it, so I would refuse to do it.
Schwartz laughed when he found out the measure caps at $10 how much a licensed dealer like himself could charge for helping complete the private gun sale and facilitating the background check, a service he currently charges about $40 to provide. Although the measure's sponsor says it's meant as a protection.
I see this as a socialistic act where they're going to tell me how much I can sell my wares for.
And Short says it's an infringement on law-abiding gun owners.
That's why my store sticker that's for your car window, it says, control crime, not guns.
Gun rights advocates have their own ideas on how to reduce crime, including making it legal for registered owners to carry a firearm in public. Like the background check legislation, a concealed carry measure is headed to the House floor for more debate, showing again that few issues divide the legislature and public opinion in Illinois quite like guns. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
We started the day with dense fog, and we're going to see rain and maybe thunderstorms throughout the day today and into this evening. Mostly cloudy, periods of rain, the high 56, winds from the southeast at 12 to 24 miles an hour and gusty, and he says there's a slight chance of severe weather today. Cloudy and windy tonight with periods of rain and maybe thunderstorms before midnight, then turning colder with a low of 32 degrees. Winds will shift from the south to the northwest at 20 to 30 miles an hour. For tomorrow, cloudy, windy, and colder, the high 37. In Champaign-Urbana, north winds at 12 to 25 miles an hour and gusty, cloudy and 21 Friday night, then Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of a few light showers and flurries, the high of 33 degrees, sunny and 30 for Sunday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 26th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.